Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Big thank you to author and former Top Chef contestant Kevin Gillespie for wasting his time and talents this morning on The Bird Show.
Yes, Chef.
Perfect.
Kevin, I mean, he has Nadir. Nadir's the new restaurant.
Yeah, Nadir's
right?
The new one. Yep.
Okay, tell us about that one.
So Nadir is a Gaelic word. It's Scottish. And so Nadir is sort of a tribute to my family who, as I know you guys are shocked in looking at me, that they're from Scotland.
That deep red beard.
Yeah, I know. I look like I swam here yesterday. But so it's kind of, I guess you'd say modern Scottish. Exactly what the dining public was demanding from me, Bert. So...
And then, of course, you have Gun Show.
Yep, and then Gun Show, which is sort of like a tornado that serves food. So, yeah. I really went with, like, market research before opening these places.
And you're going to be helping out a Burst Big Adventure kid with one of his wishes.
Super excited. So Chance is really, he loves meat. He loves steak specifically. Mm-hmm. And we have gotten some beautiful American-raised Wagyu beef that we're going to show him how to cook over the fire. So,
awesome.
Yeah, because we cook all of our stuff over an open fire. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And if you're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you got Game Changer also.
Yep, go get yourself a chicken sandwich and a chicken sandwich because that's all we serve.
So we've all come in this morning with quote-unquote Thanksgiving dishes that we have run in front of Kevin and he has tasted with varying degrees of acceptance.
Some with disdain.
Some with disdain. I'm sure every time you walk in the studio, you're like, why am I doing this? And we have all gone, and Kristen is up last. She demanded this position because she knew she was going to lose today.
Well, that, and I didn't want to blow out Kevin's palate and make it difficult to enjoy the rest of your all's dishes. So our theme this year, our goal was to find recipes that have gone viral on social media, right?
Virus herd.
Yes. And I follow I Spy Antiques. EYE Spy Antiques, right? His name is Marco, and he is so joyful and so fun to watch. And he does a series called Vintage Recipes, where he cooks recipes that were from back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So think 50s, 60s, 70s. And I'm so thrilled that he is traveling in Japan, but has taken a couple of minutes to call into the Bert Show. So please welcome Marco of I Spy Antiques. Hello, Marco.
Run, Kevin, run. I don't know what you did to piss off Kristen, but you are in for a treat, my love.
I feel like last time I was here, I had something so bad that I accidentally dropped an F-bomb on the radio.
You did.
I noticed there's a 7-second delay. That's probably going to be important here in a minute.
So I Spy Antiques, which I love following because, Marco, you are so joyful. And I laugh, I giggle. Your videos are perfection. And he made ham, bananas, hollandaise. And so that's what I made for you today. And I just wanted to play real quick. Marco, you're going to have to relive it. This is Marco tasting his vintage recipe on I Spy Antiques.
Oh, no.
That is a violent crime. That was like an out-of-body experience. I went numb for a minute.
Immediately, you're punched in the face by a wet banana. And you think to yourself, oh, I don't need to chew.
Wait, there's a piece of ham.
So then you start chewing the ham. Assault, assault, that banana comes back, and it's just wet. Liquid banana. Liquid banana. Call the drag queens, because brunch is canceled.
So, Marco, do you have any advice for Kevin before he takes a bite of ham, bananas, hollandaise.
I feel like the advice is don't eat it.
Yeah, the advice is don't eat it. Also, open that window now and jump. And have you ever wondered what depression tastes like?
So, Marco, oh, God, I'm looking at it. I'm sorry. I'm, like, a little distracted because I also didn't expect it to be rolled up. Like,
I have that effect on men.
Yeah.
Don't worry. So
people send Marco recipes, and he had received this one quite a bit. So just so you can prepare yourself, this is a banana that was squirted with some lemon juice to prevent browning. Then you take slices of ham, and you smear them with mustard. And then you roll the banana up in the ham, and then you cover it with hollandaise.
I feel like this is the equivalent of, like, have you ever seen a refrigerator where they just throw a bunch of words on it, those magnetic words, you put them together? I feel like this is the exact same thing here.
Yeah, this is like sort of the ransom letter of dishes, it looks like, you know?
So, Marco, have you ever had a celebrity chef try one of your dishes?
No, and boy, is this an honor. And Kevin, I do give you permission if you do want to throw this into the gun show.
Okay, perfect.
One of the rotating menus.
Yeah, this is definitely going to make a.
And because I felt so bad, I also brought in a very phallic banana wrapped in ham to take a bite in solidarity with you, because I do not feel like you should have to do this alone.
Okay, before we eat it, like, there's a little buildup here. Let me just, did we microwave this also?
I had to warm it up a little bit because I cooked it last night.
Oh, that's going to ruin the entire thing.
So it would have been so not beautiful. Only was this bad out of the gate, you cooked it last night and then you microwaved hollandaise, like an egg and butter sauce, which
it's from the packet.
Oh, of course it is. It's Kristen, I didn't mean to give you the impression that I thought you were making homemade hollandaise.
It's from the packet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go. I'm going center. I don't want to eat an outside piece. I'm just going to go in the dead center. Wow, it's weirdly dense.
Yeah.
Wait, what color was the banana that you started with? Did you get like a proper ripe banana?
I did. It was ripe. It's almost, it wasn't, it was just a hair green.
Which means it's not ripe.
Okay.
Go a big bite, too, because go big, go home.
Okay, here we go.
To use the bathroom.
For the first time ever, we've had Kevin in here. He refused to actually swallow it.
Okay. That was a bite. I bit down. Immediate release.
Release?
Yeah, that's...
You mean like it squirts?
Yeah, it just like it... I didn't mean to. It auto-ejected. It's like when you feed the dollar bill in wrong into the machine and it spits it right back out at you.
All right, here we go. All right.
Yeah, get after it, girl.
Because I made you do it.
Yeah, let's see if you can at least get through the whole thing. Yeah.
I'm going to swallow.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not.
You're gagging.
Right? She's gagging. Spitters or quitters.
Choke that bad boy down.
She's gagging.
Get your potassium in.
Get it down.
Yep, she might throw up.
Yep,
it's real possible.
Can she get it down?
He's looking. I'm gonna throw up.
Oh God, that's disgusting.
It's terrible.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a hate crime, actually. So I'm afraid you and Marco might be prosecuted soon.
Marco, how do you do this week in and week out?
Just courage, joy, strength, and the ability of being a fabulous gay man.
Yeah,
exactly.
All the key
ingredients. You're like, I use my fabulousness to carry me through the dark times.
That might be the most disgusting thing I've ever
eaten. It's horrible. I mean, honestly, I can usually find a redeeming quality in all of these things. And this combo of sweet and salty should work, theoretically.
Really?
I mean, sweet and salty works in a lot of different applications, but
oh God,
no one wants this. This is terrible.
I'm sweating.
You have to remember these housewives were like packed on Quaaludes.
100%. Yeah.
So
this was definitely a dish made out of spite. You can taste the spite.
Oh God.
They were mad at their husbands. They were drugged out of their mind. That frontal lobotomy like threw everything.
So if I heard you correctly, you said mine, if you're drinking alcohol, would be good. But this is good with Quaaludes.
This is, I don't know if this will ever be good. This seems like the kind of meal that would literally be served served to your husband when he got home and you just stared him down the whole time.
Yeah, right?
And you're like, choke it down, big boy.
No, Kevin nailed it because as soon as you bite into the banana, it just disintegrates. Like the banana literally just disintegrated in my mouth.
All right.
So, let's go ahead and make this official here. We do ask you to rank them from quote unquote best to worst.
Can we go in reverse?
Yeah.
I mean, we're here. We're already standing. We're at the edge of the cauldron. We might as well just, like...
Sure.
Clearly, the banana-ham hollandaise combo is maybe one of the worst dishes I've ever tasted in my life.
Oh, my God. What an honor.
That's an honor.
Thank you again to iSpy Antiques. Marco, you're the best.
Yeah, Marco, this is fun, but it's,
Yep.
Okay. It's funny, but it's not like ha-ha funny. It's like that milk smells bad funny. Like, that kind of funny.
I feel like there should be some kind of award for whatever dish makes you cuss, and this year, it was this one.
I immediately have indigestion. I didn't even eat it. Like, I don't know what's going on.
All right, so you lost slash one.
So yeah, the banana ham hollandaise combo, tippy top of the bottom here. The condiment tray is also atrocious.
Okay.
If you really want to, like, push this thing into overdrive, top that banana off with one of your chosen condiments there.
Is that Rebecca's?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Feel free.
Okay.
And don't give me this cancer thing. I'm a cancer survivor too. That is not, there's still a such thing as war crimes, you know? And so it doesn't matter if you survive cancer or not. They can still hold you in contempt.
Okay.
So then next worst, unfortunately, because I really think this one has promise, is the whoopie pie.
Mm.
And that's just because it was made very poorly.
Only reason.
That was Abby.
The idea is solid. The flavors are good, but, you know, it's one of those, like, was this a design flaw or an execution flaw? And I think we all know it was an execution flaw. So, I'm not grading the turkey sandwich that was not made by
anyone.
Yeah, that was, I mean, this tastes like, you know, it tastes like real food. So I'm going to push that one over there. And we have Bert's hot dog, quote unquote, which was an organic chicken sausage from Trader Joe's, which is like, it's both bougie and just total BS. And so that one is, you know, the sausage itself is at least good, but the bun is atrocious. So it's definitely in second place because it's at least seasoned, but not because Bert did anything, for the record.
This right here is my life.
And then a massive step above that is the deep fried corn, which is actually quite delicious.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, corn is good.
Thank you.
Properly seasoned. Thank you for a person of color actually showing up and seasoning their food today.
Right.
Exactly. Well, we needed that. The world needed that. Thank you. At least we have one redeeming dish.
Kevin Gillespie he's Atlanta's best chef, man. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that you invite me in for these really fun mornings.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'll come back anytime to ridicule you guys. Culinarily speaking.
It's The Bert Show.
Hey, The Bert Show.
All right, I want you guys to play parent to Abby. At some point or another, if you want, you're going to have kids. And this happens to you. Really curious how you would handle it. Then I want to bring Kristen and Cassie, who are parents, in for this specifically.
So this was interesting to me because I'm certain a lot of single moms probably go through this and wonder what they should do. So King Von is a rapper who was unfortunately murdered and passed away. And so now the mother of his child is taking their son to football practice. And the coach and the child have a bit of an incident where I guess the coach accidentally squirted some water on the child, got in the child's eyes, the child cries, and then the mom had to make a decision about whether she wanted the coach to continue to coach her child based on what the coach's response was. And here is her telling the story.
I made the decision to pull my son off the football team. I understand that football is a very rigorous sport. My son is only 5 years old, so of course he's not there yet. Like, he's not super tough. I guess the coach was giving them water, and the coach made a mistake and squirted water in his eye. I'm not really sure. I just know water was squirted in Davon's eye. And of course, just like a five-year-old, he began to cry. As he's walking him off the field, he goes, "Stop all that crying, if I put you over there with the cheerleaders." And me, I'm instantly in defense mode. And I asked him, I said, "Do you think that was appropriate for you to say to a five-year-old child?" And he was like, "It ain't no crying in football."
Ooh. So much to chew on here. Mm-hmm. Now, we played this 25 years ago. It's a non-conversation. These days, it's very much a conversation.
Listen, I don't think she did the wrong thing. I think she spoke up when she felt like something in her gut was wrong with how the coach treated her child, because he's not 15, he's not 13, he's not 12. The kid is 5 years old. 5 years old. So I feel like, I mean, I probably would have done the same thing if somebody talked to my kid that way. Like, you just hit him in the eye with some water. It's very painful when you get shot in the eye with some water.
Yeah, what he said.
What?
That's a very strong take.
Listen,
it is. Have you
ever been squirted in your eye?
Hold on a second.
So,
no. me neither.
No. So,
actually.
So the squirting in the eye is one thing. I'm actually almost more offended with him saying, I'll put you with the cheerleaders.
Yeah, I thought you guys would chew on that.
Because it's very dismissive, like, oh, and then you're gonna be with the girls because the girls aren't tough, et cetera. So I think this is layered here. But if I was her, I would have done the same thing. It's out of pocket. It's a five-year-old. There's no reason to talk to a five-year-old like that. There's such a better way to handle that. Mm-hmm. And again, the statement, I'll put you with the cheerleaders, that doesn't sit well either.
She handled it very well, because I would have popped off on him.
Yeah.
Like, that is, first of all, children deserve respect, okay? And some people see respect as respecting an authority figure, you must do what I say. And other people see respect as, you're a person with thoughts and worth and feelings, and I'm going to respect that. If an adult spoke to me the way that coach spoke to that child, I'd punch him in his face. Oh. You do not speak to me like that, and you're not going to speak to my child like that. Adults need to respect children, so children learn to respect adults. That's how that works. So if you're not doing your job as a coach and teaching modeling behavior for my child and how that they should act, then you don't need to be in that position, and I'm getting your ass fired. I will not stop until you're off that field.
You're not punching anybody in the face.
I'm a black belt in karate. I almost went to the Junior Olympics for it.
I see. You're still not punching anybody. Mm-hmm.
I was the first member of the SWAT team. Super winning attitude. We had black kids.
All right. I got a more of a romantic question for you guys that I haven't got a definition for yet from Amanda, my girlfriend, right? I'll give you the setup on it, and then I'll give you the exact sentence she used. And then you tell me what the difference is, because I'm a little on the confused side, and we just haven't had a chance to circle back to it yet. So she and I were going to go to downtown Alpharetta last week, and it's hard to tell when our anniversary date is, because it was kind of a slow roll of a relationship. We've known each other for 10 years, and within her relationship deteriorated and mine did. It was just kind of a slow roll, so there's never official, like, anniversary date. So in this made-up date, she's like, you know what we should do is the first time that we really hung out, we were in Alpharetta. Let's just go back to Alpharetta and have a great night. Now, I didn't know really what that meant, but it sounded like, okay, it's going to kind of be an anniversary. Maybe the underlying theme here is romance. So about three-fourths of the way through the week, I said to her, you know that that night in Alpharetta we were talking about? You know, George is playing Tennessee that night. And they got a lot of bars and restaurants in Alpharetta that we could watch that game, because it's a really big game. Mm-hmm. And she's a somewhat of a Georgia fan also, right? So she wrote something back to the effect of, that is the level of romance that I have come to expect from us, okay? From us. I took it personally. And I said, what, you don't think that I'm romantic? And she said, here it is. I think you're thoughtful and intentional, but not necessarily romantic. Okay. Huh. Mm. Please help me on that.
I feel like it's
Did
saying,
you ask her to elaborate?
I feel like it's saying you give your best shot, but you just come up short.
Did you ask her to elaborate?
I said we haven't had a chance. I mean, she's been so busy, and she moved out. She's into her own place now, so we haven't had a chance to circle back on it. Now, we're going to spend 7 days with each other in Buenos Aires, very romantic place. I'll tell you what I have done.
Well, it depends. It can be romantic on the things you do. Like, that trip is thoughtful and intentional. Is it romantic? It depends on what you do. If you go and you're just going around to bars watching soccer games, not very romantic. But if you are, you know, doing tango lessons, that's romantic.
Okay, so in full disclosure, I did try to get us into a couple of soccer matches.
Uh-huh, that is
Focus
not romantic.
And River Plate.
Unless that's her jam.
She likes it. However, I also signed us up for tango lessons.
Then And that is romantic.
Okay, that's the romantic one. Yeah. The trip itself, thoughtful. The romance is doing something you normally wouldn't do to please her. We are also going on like a 10-restaurant food and wine tour. You know how I feel about food. I don't care about food. But I knew she was going to... That's romantic?
Yes.
But it's also thoughtful?
I feel romance involves a little bit of selflessness as far as like you. Sometimes you end up doing things that you typically wouldn't want to do. Mm-hmm. This is like what the whole breakup was about with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. It's like he doesn't like the ballet, but she loves the ballet. So I think a romantic gesture would be to take her to the ballet. It's not something you necessarily like, but you make a sacrifice.
Romance is always thoughtful, but being thoughtful is not always romantic. It's like, you know how every rectangle is a square, but not every square is a rectangle?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They got it.
Ma, what's the last romantic thing you did for your lady? Romantic, not thoughtful.
When you bought those rose petals and you had to individually unwrap them and you only had like 7 on the floor.
Wrong lady, Kristen.
Oh. Not very thoughtful of you, Kristen.
Not very thoughtful at all, actually. Quite the opposite.
Well, you caught a break. Because you would never do that for your new girlfriend.
No, she gets the real thing.
You think
that's how I upgraded. Absolutely. Yeah.
Last romantic thing you did.
Surprised her because she wasn't feeling so well. So I took a trip to New York to surprise her. Pulled up at a door, knocked on, rung the doorbell.
I think that covers all of them, actually. Thoughtful, intentional, and romantic.
There you go.
Will you date Amanda?
Hey, The Bird Show.
Hollywood fascinates me. Not just like the movies, TV, and content part of it, but the puppeteering that goes on behind the scenes of Hollywood fascinates me. Like, what's real? What's not real, right? So every now and then, we ask Maya Riaz to join us. She is a Hollywood PR agent, been doing this her entire life and knows it all and is willing to tell us what's real and what's not. Hey, Maya.
Hey, Bert. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
Very, very well in snowy London.
Is
that it's very cold here.
Didn't we just hear that Ellen DeGeneres moving to London now also?
Yes. She and Portia.
Yeah, she don't want anything to do with her anymore. She's like, I'm out.
Yeah, see you in 4 years.
Yeah. All right, so let's start with Zach Bryan and Brianna Chicken Fry. And my question here is, because for those of you that don't know the story, Brianna used to go out with Zach Bryan, I should say, and it's been a really bad breakup. He was a D-bag all the way around, at least according to her, emotionally abusive. She works for Barstool Sports and does a podcast with Dave Portnoy also. And she has been very, very vocal in how bad a person he is. Dave Portnoy has definitely attached himself to it. And Zach has taken a hit PR, but hasn't said a word. So as a PR agent, at what point do you tell your clients, okay, speak out about it? And at other times, when do you say, this is going to pass. Let's just not approach it at all.
Yeah, most things pass. It's about a week. If a news is in the news cycle for a week, if a story's in there, you kind of know it's not going anywhere. It's not hiding anywhere quickly. So that's probably the point where you decide to do something. Whether you talk and give your side, who knows? I mean, it just looks like airing dirty laundry, and it's not a good look. And is she trying to get the public on her side, speak out first, take that sympathy by giving your version of the story? And I guess in media, anyone who stays quiet and doesn't say anything kind of looks like the guilty party, especially when she's accused him of what she has.
Now, another question pertaining to this particular couple, Zach Bryan and Brianna Chicken Fry, and I'm applying it to other celebrity couples. When they decide to split, I'm sure there is a conversation that is had with them or with their PR people about when a statement is going to be released. Because she was super upset. He posted that they were broken up. And she would have liked to have had some time to, like, process. And so do those conversations typically happen between, like, the celebrities' PR people?
Of course, management, publicists, agents, you need to know, because it's going to dominate the headlines like it has in this story. So often you kind of have the breakup, you have the bit, the mourning period, and then you realize, you know, your publicist will probably put out a statement for you both. And then that should be it. You can say, you know, respect my privacy. I don't want to talk about it. Actually, this isn't what's happened in here. And she's kind of comes across quite bitter because of whatever's gone wrong behind the scenes.
Do you know of any of these celebrity couples breaking up that are sort of scripted also? We don't know it, but a PR agent, as Kristen said, will call another one and say, okay, this is how we're going to play this out, and it'll be good for both of our clients.
It's happened. It happens a lot. There's rumors with quite a few celebrities, some we might talk about today, that is that their relationship is fairly scripted and there's a timeline. I mean, how much of that is true? Who knows? But it's not something that is bizarre in the PR showbiz world, because these celebrities are commodities to an extent. And if two parties are aware of it and it gains both sides and they gain new fans, then in showbiz, what's the harm?
All right, so some people are speculating that the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce relationship might be fabricated.
It's been interesting to me because it seems as if a lot of sports fans completely believe that this is a play for the NFL, whereas a lot of the Swifties seem to believe that this is real. And it's kind of hard to believe that they would go this far to make a play, but I'm wondering if that is possible, because a lot of people seem to be confused as to what Taylor Swift would get out of it when it's very obvious what the NFL would.
Yeah, you know, Taylor Swift is such an iconic name. She's got new fan base. Look at her. I think she sported Travis about 17 times, you know, at the match. So, you know, she's gaining those new fans to a new audience. Not that she needs it, but who knows what is behind the scenes. We've seen him, you know, in the London show here in the summer. He was on stage with her. So, we don't know what the deal might be behind the scenes. So what the public see and what we perceive there to be an advantage or not doesn't necessarily translate when there could be money, deals, projects in the limelight coming out in the future. Who knows?
Are there indicators that we can see when celebrity couples and it's fabricated and obviously put together? What do you, what are the signs that, okay, that's not real right there?
There's quite a lot. If someone does kind of on the fly on the wall documentary, there's only so many times people can lie and hide. And often the telltale sign is the facial expressions. Now, if a paparazzi is taking shots, they usually use a photo to tell a particular narrative. So that doesn't always play, because how many times in a 5-minute paparazzi shoot is everyone smiling and looking great? Now, if they want, if a particular publication wants to say, oh, there's trouble in paradise, they will use a photo that where they're not smiling. So usually it's body language. And this is why media will use body language experts to say, what's going on here? Are they holding hands? Are they are they both body language communicating with each other? It's really hard for your body to lie, even though your words and actions may, if they're rehearsed well enough. So that's a telltale sign. Also, social media posts, you know, people try and portray what they want on their social media. So if they are sharing a lot of their lives on Instagram, but not so much about the partner because they're not there when, you know, the cameras are off, that's an indicator. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of couples that may have unequal benefits for a pairing, let's hypothetically say that Megan Good and Jonathan Majors are in some kind of PR relationship because of all of the negative press he got for that court case where his ex-girlfriend accused him of assault. I think a lot of people can obviously assume, okay, if this is a fake relationship, we see how it's benefiting Jonathan Majors because it makes him look good to have a desirable woman on his arm. But from Megan Good's camp, like, what would she have to gain from being in a relationship with this man?
Would there be financial compensation?
Oh, there would be money talks. And just like what I said, what the public may see as a benefit or a disadvantage may be totally different. So it could be, you know, a percentage of a record deal goes to the other a partner because their name is mentioned or they're somehow related or it's about them or something along those lines. With Megan, I don't see the advantage that she would get unless there is, again, in contracts. And contracts have been said to be leaked in Taylor Swift's case. Who knows how real they are, but contracts are made. And so unless there's money, but, you know, it's easy for us to say it could be a fake relationship or not real. I mean, it's done him no harm. A woman standing by your side for a year and then she gets presented an engagement ring and, you know, proposed twice, you know, as they say, and they're keeping it under wraps whilst there were breakup rumours not so long ago. So you wonder why, you know, there's no smoke without fire. So why would a breakup rumor started and then they were going to be at the Ebony Awards on Sunday and then, hey, we're engaged. Now there's something new for you to talk about. And there were two proposals. So it's a gift that keeps on giving in this case.
Man, thank you so much. It fascinates me. Hollywood, I just feel like everything is so fake and everything feels like so manufactured. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's
appreciate you.
It's called strategy.
Yeah, strategy. Strategy. Right. It's The Bert Show.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Let's get straight into the entertainment buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
It's a massive weekend for theater kids everywhere because Wicked comes out tomorrow.
It's time to try.
And theater kids at home, if you are feeling the urge to sing, AMC Theaters wants you to shut up because they are issuing a strict warning to Wicked fans as the movie begins to open that no singing and no wailing will be allowed in their theaters.
God bless them for doing it.
Listen, I know the songs are catchy. I love to sing along too, but you got to wait until December 25th when the actual sing-along version of the movie comes out. Otherwise, you're just ruining the experience for all the other weird theater kids who are finally living out their dreams of seeing Ariana Grande sing on screen.
I think for little kids, this is like, you know, when the doctor hits you on the knee and you can't help but like jerk your knee like that. These songs are going to come on. They're going to sing. They have nothing. They can't even control it.
People have already started talking about their experience where this is apparently already happening. I don't know if there's like early screenings out, but people have already seen the film. They're raving about it. They're saying it's amazing. I think it has like a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes
right now. It's the highest rated musical theater adaptation ever.
So it's going to be a great movie. Everyone should go out and see it. But even Ariana Grande is having to speak up about it because so many people are talking about their negative experiences. Someone even said that, like, sometimes it's not even the people that are singing along with it that are annoying. It's like the people who are singing kind of quietly and they're like a little bit offbeat. So then it's like you have this constant echo of somebody in your ear being like, and it's just not the experience you paid for.
Because you're there to see Cynthia Erivo do her thing. You're there to see Ariana Grande do her thing, right? And I do think the sing-alongs they're doing December 25th are going to be awesome and people are going to love that. So we're hosting a private screening of Wicked opening day, which is tomorrow night. And so we're doing that. I'm wondering if we should pass out mouth tape.
We're going to need some duct tape for these theater kids. Keep them on lock.
Mouth tape is so popular now. Everybody's wearing it at night when they're sleeping. Might as well go ahead and pass it out at the theater so they can keep the trap shut while we're watching the movie.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe strap them into the seat as well. So Ariana Grande, she put out a Instagram story and she said, "Hello all. It seems as though a lot of you have been singing your little hearts out in the theater as you enjoy the film, which I appreciate and understand dearly. However, in order for it to remain a pleasant experience for those around you, I kindly ask that if you feel inclined to sing or know someone that won't be able to remain silent in the theater, you remain patient until the film is available for purchase at home." Nice plug, Ariana Grande. As a fellow Wicked fan, it is more than comprehensible to hear that a lot of you wish to sing along to the movie. But for the time being, it is my greatest wish that everyone who has purchased tickets can fully and comfortably finish the movie with minimal distractions. So keep your mouth shut.
That's what she's saying.
That's what she's saying.
A lot of words to say that.
Abby will be reading that statement tomorrow night before we start our screening of Wicked.
Be like, Ariana Grande's words, not mine, although I definitely approve said message. All right, people are wondering if Zach Bryan enlisted a UFC fighter to annoy Brianna Chicken Fry. So this all went down at Madison Square Garden where
where where there was a fight going on, and I guess one of the fighters that ended up winning gave like a random shout out to Zach Bryan at the end of the match. He's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna be back at MSG. I'm gonna be seeing Zach Bryan." And then it pans immediately to Brianna Chicken Fry, his ex girlfriend, and she's just sitting there like completely stone faced, trying not to give the reaction that maybe Zach Bryan's camp wanted her to give. And then in a later interview that he would do, where he was talking about the shout out for Zach Bryan, he goes, "Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I'm more of a Morgan Wallen fan. I don't really know much about Zach Bryan."
Yeah.
So it's coming out that it actually might be a setup.
Portnoy was all over this yesterday. He showed a video of this boxer literally saying, like, "My PR people just told me to give this guy a shout. I don't even know really who he is." Portnoy was so annoyed yesterday with him.
So annoyed. And I, you know what? I don't blame him, because after you hear everything that allegedly Zach Bryan did to Brianna Chicken Fry in this relationship, it's like, dude, let it go. Allegedly, he still has her cat and is like posting her cat all over social media to like spite her. It's like, dude, you look so bad in this situation. Take a back seat, let the news cycle run out, and you'll be fine to put out another album all about her and people will love you again.
Yeah, like if you're going to ignore the story, then ignore the story. Don't give like Easter eggs that are showing how, you know, in Dave's words, how small you are.
100%. He even posted like a picture on his Instagram story of like the Canadian flag, and Brianna has been very vocal about how she's about to go to Canada for the Taylor Swift concert. And so people are thinking, like, is he just trying to, like, I don't know, poke her and bother her over social media? It just seems like so petty for someone who just, he should just be above this. He's a kajillionaire superstar. Move on. It's ridiculous.
I think that was the good strategy, is like, I am way bigger than she is, so I should just shut up. But if you're going to shut up, then shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
For more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
He wanted her to pretend to be his wife at the company's holiday party. Huh, you guys on Thursdays are always hitting us up saying, "Hey, Burt Show, y'all forgot about blank, whatever happened." And we save these stories for follow-up Thursday. So, Kristen, what do we got today?
So this happened almost exactly a year ago. Christy's boyfriend, John, wanted her to attend his company's Christmas party, but he didn't want her to attend as his girlfriend. He wanted her to attend the party as his wife. Apparently, he often wore a wedding ring at work in the hopes he would get better perks at work. Christy thought this was shady, reached out to us for advice. The majority of us agreed that this was super sketch and thought this was an insight into any future lies he might tell. However, Abby thought it was romantic.
Sounds like the perfect setup for my little rom-com books.
And that Christy should play along. I suggested she go and sabotage things by telling his coworkers she's his mistress instead. So what did Christy decide to do?
I can't believe it's been just about a year since John asked me to be his pretend wife at his company's Christmas party. At the time, I was skeptical. The whole idea of lying about something as big as our relationship made me uneasy. After some back and forth, I reluctantly agreed. I convinced myself that it would be a quick, harmless little charade. The Christmas party came, and I put on my best wife persona. His colleagues were warm and welcoming, and nobody seemed to question our marriage. After a few drinks, I was enjoying my role more than expected. The night went off without a hitch, and John was absolutely thrilled. He gushed about how much more respect he was getting from his coworkers. Months passed, and we continued to play along with the story. John's colleagues still believed we were happily married, and I found myself attending occasional work events as his wife. This married thing started to spill over in public as well. From random date nights to evenings with friends, we referred to one another as husband and wife. You could say it was our way of manifesting our future together. And that's exactly what happened. In the spring, John started dropping hints about a special evening, and I figured it was just another fancy dinner. But to my surprise, John had something better planned when we returned home that evening. He attempted to give a spill about how our relationship started, but he started fumbling over his words. In the middle of his panic, he pulled out the ring, saying, "I no longer want to pretend. Let's do this for real." It wasn't the way I dreamed of being proposed to, but it felt right. Now we're planning our special day, and I couldn't be any happier.
Good for them.
Love that for them. Happy for her.
All right, so we got Thanksgiving. You got the holidays right around the corner. Sometimes there's family tension. Mo's got a friend who's walking right into it.
Yeah, my dude is not looking forward to Thanksgiving at all. He is in a ball of anxiety right now. So I went to visit him and see how he was doing, and we were talking about Thanksgiving. And I was like, "You looking forward to it?" And he was like, "Not at all. Actually, I'm dreading Thanksgiving, and it's all because of my sister." So I'm like, whoa, what happened? So apparently he started dating someone about 6 months ago, and the sister just doesn't like her. Doesn't like her at all. They met. She is not a fan. And she started kind of drilling him about questions. So he started telling her about some of the red flags that he was experiencing. And most of it was really just, I would say, lying, maybe exaggerating, not telling the full truth. It seems like she might be being a little shady about who she actually is and what she's done in her past in some way, shape or form. So he made the mistake of going to his family about this because he wanted some questions on if he was making the right decision by staying with her, even though he had thought that she might have been lying about some things. So it turned out behind his back, the sister went and did some digging of her own, did some background checks, looked her up, found her social media, found her a Facebook that apparently my dude didn't even know she had, and found out a lot of information of which she wasn't lying. She just wasn't telling the full truth. And I kind of told him, I feel like almost everybody does that in relationships. It's like certain things about your life that you just may not bring up. If you ask, mm-hmm. then I'll tell you. But if you don't ask, I just might not volunteer the information. So I don't think she really went out of her way to lie. I just think it's some things she might have omitted.
Is not volunteering considered lying?
Some consider it lying by omission. However, when you're dating somebody, depending on where you are in the relationship, I'm not airing all my dirty laundry mm-hmm. out the gate. Like, maybe there'll be things that I think aren't detrimental to the relationship and aren't like necessarily deal breakers. It's just my past and my personal history. Mm-hmm. And if it comes up, I'm not going to lie about it. But until it does, I'm not going to disclose it.
I think it kind of depends what the other person is assuming. Like, if the other person's assumption is that you are monogamous, but maybe like you have 7 other girlfriends on the side, but like you just aren't telling her about it. So it's not technically lying. You know what I mean? I feel like there's still like some ways that it could still be considered lying if the other person is under the assumption that something else is happening, if that makes sense.
So I think that's what my dude really wanted, was to kind of just go on with this relationship, taking her at face value for who she is today. But he's mad at his sister now, and it's two-part, because the first reason he's mad is because she went behind his back and did the digging, and he felt like she was wrong for that. Like, she should have came to him first and told him that she was going to do this. Second reason he's mad is because he found this out by his mom calling him and saying, "What's going on with this new lady in your life?" And then he's like, "What are you talking about?" And apparently the sister, when she got the information, she didn't go to him with it. She went to everybody else. She went to his other sister. She went to his brother. She went to the mom. She went to the dad. So now the entire family has this information about his new girlfriend that he doesn't even have. And his sister, to this moment, still has not brought it up. So all that he knows from mom. And he has to now take his new girlfriend to Thanksgiving with all of this information about what his sister has already done.
The hornet's nest before you even walk in the door, man.
I don't know how he's going to enjoy that turkey this year.
It is a story all across America over the next couple of days.
Happy Thanksgiving.
The Bird Show.
The Bird Show.